This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala abdillahi wa rasulihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My brothers and sisters, the word haram is used in order to highlight to us what Allah has forbidden. In Islam, we use the word halal in order to highlight what Allah has permitted. Mostly we talk about foodstuffs. But it's not only foodstuffs. There are certain things you do that would be haram or halal, permissible or impermissible. This term haram has also been used to refer to certain places. Al-Masjidul Haram is a masjid that is prohibited. And there is a haram, which is an area that is prohibited. It is a sacred place. So what exactly is prohibited and why is it called Al-Masjid Al-Haram? It is called that because Allah Almighty has laid greater emphasis of the prohibition of certain things in that area. And some things that are permissible outside will not be permissible there. For example, if you were to see a little insect for no reason in the haram, you're not allowed to harm it. Leave it. If it is a pest and it is bothering, or it is perhaps like a mosquito that would maybe want to harm you in one way or another, then you may eradicate it in the best and easiest possible way. But this is just one example. Similarly, the condition known as condition of ihram, also taken from something similar. It's also connected to something that makes you not do things that would otherwise be permissible. To apply perfume in a prohibited condition, in a sacred condition, in the condition of ihram, is prohibited. To cut your hair through that condition where you're wearing the two pieces of cloth known as ihram, prohibited. When it comes to the end of your hajj or the end of your umrah, it would then be at that particular position permissible for you to now cut your hair depicting the end of your ihram. So this word haram is a very powerful word. When a Muslim hears the word haram, he or she should immediately listen, what is it, and take it seriously. In Islam, if there is something that is debated whether it is halal or haram, a Muslim is taught, stay away. The reason is, if you stayed away, you wouldn't have done something debated. Say for example, I'll give you two examples. For example, if I tell you it is haram to do this, and you are listening to someone else saying, no, don't worry, it's halal. Okay? If you were to go ahead and do it, there is a chance that you did something wrong. Because there's maybe 50-50, sometimes more, sometimes less, but there is a chance, even if it is a 1% chance. And if you left it completely, nobody can debate that you did not do anything wrong. Agreed? That is from the hadith known as the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna al-halal bayyin wa inna al-harama bayyin." Halal is very clear, haram is very clear. And in the middle, there are some things that may not be so clear to you and I. In the eyes of Allah, Allah knows that this is this way or that way. So the hadith says, بَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. The hadith says, whoever has stayed away from those things that are gray area, debated, they have saved themselves and they have saved their limbs, their bodies, their organs, they have saved themselves in entirety from something haram. And whoever fell into it has fallen into haram. Allah did not say that there's a possibility of you falling into halal or haram. He says, the minute it's a gray area, according to you, stay away. And why does he say, if you did it, you fell into haram? Because you were prepared to take the risk. That's what it is. The minute you're prepared to take the risk, you don't even know. It's okay. Well, look, there might be a chance that this is okay. Let me do it. Now, why am I mentioning this? Because today is the day of Eid al-Adha, Yawm al-Nahr. Today is the greatest day from the days of the year in terms of the deeds that we are going to be fulfilling and greatness given to it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when it comes to the nights in the year as Muslims, the most powerful night is Laylatul Qadr. It is named the night of decree, or even translated as the night of power, because the term Qadr refers to destiny and the term Qudra refers to power. So Laylatul Qadr refers to both of those. So the nights we know, Ramadan, there's no nights that are more powerful than the nights of Ramadan. But the days, what about the days? The days, the most powerful of the days is this particular day, yesterday being the day of Arafah, the most powerful. Then you have these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, which are considered the season that is the most powerful in terms of days. So you're supposed to do more good deeds through these days, like the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْعَشْرِ. There are no days in which good deeds are more loved by Allah than these 10 days. And this is the climax of it, يَوْمَ النَّحَرِ. It is the day of the great sacrifice. The great sacrifice. So where does the word haram come in? Very interestingly, the Prophet ﷺ made Hajj once. And the Prophet ﷺ gave a sermon towards the end of the Hajj on the day of Nahar. And he repeated a few of the points a few days later. And from among those points where he got up and final speech, meaning they call it the farewell sermon. That's what it's called. Many of us might have it on a plaque at home, but we haven't read it. We just say final sermon. We look at it, hey, mashallah, looks nice there. That's why they say, there is a debate whether it is permissible to hang verses of the Quran in your homes or not. Some of the scholars say it's prohibited, and some say it's permissible. Those who say it's prohibited say the Quran was not revealed in order to decorate your home. It was revealed to read, take a lesson, and you are actually belittling the verse of Allah. And the others say, no, it's permissible because at least it will remind you. We are from among those who believe it's permissible, but read it once in a while, then it makes it permissible properly. We hung the verse up, mashallah, beautifully written, alhamdulillah. We read it, we take heed, we listen, we tell people, read this verse. Do you know what it says? It says so and so, and the message. Subhanallah. Then it becomes meaningful. So that's the debate. The same applies to anything else. It's not prohibited to hang up a hadith, but wouldn't it be belittling a hadith of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to just hang it up in your home and say it looks lovely, but you've never read it. You haven't seen it. Come on, you don't stop for a moment to look and read and put into practice. So the same applies. This sermon or this lecture is the most powerful of the lectures, and that's why the points are so interesting. One of the most beautiful points is the point regarding this issue of haram. This issue of haram. What is it? The Prophet ﷺ says, Ala, inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum haramun alaykum. Ka hurmati yawmikum hadha, fi shahrikum hadha, fi baladikum hadha. Allahu Akbar. He says, behold, and this was his final sermon. Imagine the most beloved unto Allah. His last words. Actually, not the last words in terms of what he uttered, but in terms of a lecture. In a gathering, massive gathering. He says, behold, your blood amongst you is haram. Your wealth amongst you is haram. Your respect, your honor, your dignity amongst you is haram. What does that mean? Dima'akum haram. Your blood amongst you haram. It means you're not allowed to commit murder. You're not allowed to harm and hurt someone physically. That's what it means. You can't allow the spillage of blood of one another. Blood is haram. You cannot kill another person come what may. Allahu Akbar. Dima'akum haram. That's haram. He says, أموالكم حرام. Your wealth amongst you is haram. Yours is yours, his is his. He can't claim yours, you can't claim him. Don't deceive and cheat, and don't steal from one another. Don't usurp, don't connive, and so on. The words will continue and continue. Don't eat someone else's money. Subhanallah.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la ta'kulu amwalakum baynakum bil batil illa an takuna tijaratan an taradim minkum.
Allah says, O you who believe, don't consume the wealth of one another in falsehood, in a wrong way, in a haram manner. And then Allah makes an exception and He says, the only time you're allowed to consume the wealth of another is when you're doing business with the happiness of both parties. You cannot just come to someone, how much is this? He says, $100, here's 50 and goodbye. And I walk off. I mean, the guy's looking at you, hey, what's going on here? You can't do that. There has to be a deal. $100, I'm not too happy. Make it cheaper for me. Or if you're wealthy and you see a man who's poorer than you selling, another way that you earn a reward is to tell him, you know what, 100, I give you 120, perhaps you can feed your family. We stopped doing that. For us, if someone does that, they say, you're crazy, this guy's got a lot of money. It's not a matter of a lot of money, it's a matter of you knowing that this thing, he's not making more than X amount, he's poorer than me, Allah's blessed me with so much more, let me add a little bit and give him and tell him, you know, Bismillah, take it, it's okay, here's your 100 and here's another 20. There might be some from amongst us who actually do that. May Allah help us liven that once again. That Ameen was relatively soft. But my brothers, my sisters, I can tell you something. When the hadith says, Dima'akum haram, amwalakum haram, it continues to say, A'radakum haram, your honor, your dignity, your respect amongst each other is haram. You're not allowed to accuse someone falsely of something. You cannot backbite about someone because it's their honor. Talk about them behind their backs in a good way, not in a bad way. Something, had they heard it, they would be okay with it or happy with it. That's fine. But the minute you go around saying something bad about someone behind their backs, what have you done? You went against that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, "A'radakum haramun alaykum." Your honor, your dignity from one another. And that's a minor thing if you were to think about it carefully in today's world. People consider it minor. In the eyes of Allah, it's a big thing. And to belittle someone, you tease them. In Islam, you're not even allowed to call someone a name or a nickname which they would not be happy with. The Quran says, وَلَا تَنَبَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Imagine, I'm not allowed to call you fatty or whatever unless you like that name. Allahu Akbar. All those who are called fatty can forgive me for today. But it's one of those things, people call us names we don't like. If someone does that, don't respond to the name, it will become your name. Don't respond to it at all. Keep walking. Keep going. Until they call you the proper name you would like to be called by. Nicknames are not haram, but bad nicknames that the person himself disagrees with are haram. So that is the issue of haram. But the Prophet ﷺ did not stop there. He went on to say something powerful. He says, كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. He says, do you want to know the level of prohibition of these things I've mentioned is equal to the prohibition of this particular day? This particular day. What was the day today? يوم النحر. The day of sacrifice. The day of the slaughter. The day of the great slaughter. The great day of Eid. He says, similar to the prohibition of this day, don't you consider this day sacred? It's a sacred day. The Hujjaj, for example, on the day of Nahr, they slaughter, they sacrifice, they pelt shaitan, they are in Ahram, they've just come from Muzdalifah, they are marching onto Mina, they are doing their talbiyah. What is the talbiyah? They are saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, or they are saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahil Hamd, Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest, Allah has no partner, none worthy of worship besides Allah. Allah is the greatest and all praise belongs to Him. The day is a sacred day. So your wealth, your lives, your dignity and respect and honor is as sacred as today. That's what it is. Don't mess with yourselves. Respect one another. The Prophet ﷺ continues to say, كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا. You know, in the Islamic calendar, there are 12 months. Four from among those are known as the months that are haram. Haram in what way? You're not allowed to commence war during those months. You must be at peace. They are known as Ashhurul Hurum. Ashhurul Hurum, the months that are haram. What are they? Dhul Qi'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, Rajab. Those are the months. So Dhul Hijjah, is it not a haram month in that sense as well? So that's why the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says, as sacred as this day, as sacred as this month, and as sacred as this city, the city of Makkah, subhanallah. You're not allowed to hunt in Makkah. Did you ever know that? You see a bird, you're not allowed to just go and shoot it or whatever. Hunt it. You cannot hunt in Makkah. Makkah is Makkah. The animals are at peace, subhanallah. So much so that people's lives are at peace. You have an issue with someone, come out of Makkah and sort it out. Subhanallah, Rabbil Alameen. So the call was very powerful on that sermon where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam clearly said, learn to respect one another, learn to fulfill each other's rights. In the same lecture, he spoke about women. He says, fear Allah and the treatment of women. That's what he said. Treatment of women. So whenever you maltreat a female, you need to know, I just went against the last advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. And so many other pieces of advice. He gave us powerful advice. Don't ever associate partners with Allah. Don't ever associate partners with Allah. That was the most powerful advice also on that particular day. Worship Allah. Fulfill your duties unto Allah. My brothers, my sisters, this is the day of Eid, a day of happiness and sacrifice. Today, we will be sacrificing. What will we be doing? Sacrificing animals, and perhaps for those who might not be sacrificing animals, we will either witness it or benefit from it, or at least we've heard about it now, subhanallah. Some might say, no, you know what, it's quite expensive, I'm not on the threshold where I need to do it, and I can't do it. Well then, we will give you some meat. And we can share meat. You can share the meat with your friends, your family. You consume from it. It's a sunnah. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا. You eat from it as well. You know, people say that, well, red meat is bad. Have you heard that? Red meat is bad for you. I can tell you something. The Quran tells us to consume from it a little. Consume from it. It doesn't say how much, but consume from it a little bit. مِنْهَا means a portion of it. The problem with us is it's how we eat. That's the thing. You have a samosa, you end up having 10 of them. You are going to get sick. Come on, one is enough. It's okay. Even if it tastes good, one is okay. Two, maybe fine. Really like it, three, okay, stop there. Depending on the size of it. But with us, we lose track of it. MashaAllah, we consume more than what we are supposed to. Then we say, very bad for you. What was bad for you? Allah says, the minute you said Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, you slaughtered the animal, you eat a little bit of it, and Alhamdulillah, there are some things that will be that you will benefit from that particular red meat that you won't get from any other thing that you're going to eat, perhaps. I'm not an expert, but I'm telling you based on revelation. MashaAllah. So, my brothers and sisters, let's not say it's bad for you. Something Allah has made halal in itself can never be bad for you. Maybe the way you ate it is bad for you. Maybe because of your lifestyle, it's no longer good for you to consume more than a bit. Or maybe you finished your quota. Someone might say, I have gout. I can't have red meat. Fair, that's fine. You have a sickness that is stopping you from something. So you might want to consume less, but don't totally label it bad. Because it's halal. Allah said it's halal. These are some of the days where we are supposed to declare the greatness of Allah. Today, when you're returning home from this Salatul Eid, try and use a slightly different route to go back. It's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One road, a little bit different. You know, the reason is, the people who are witnessing the Muslimin go and come back from the Eid need to see us more and need to see us in greater numbers. Because it's a day of happiness and joy. We declare the takbir by right. If we were walking and we were declaring the takbir, it would create such a lovely environment. People would see, look, the Muslims are all going well dressed and smart, and they're all declaring the greatness of Allah. So on your way back, when you use the different route, more people get to see you. One of the reasons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. So my beloved brothers, my sisters, as these days of Tashriq, they are known as days of Tashriq, the enlightened days. These are days of Tashriq. They are days when you should be eating, drinking, and remembering Allah. The remembrance of Allah, we already said the takbir. Eating and drinking, we spoke about it briefly, the eating part of it. As for the drinking, mashallah, you and I know when a Muslim says drink, he means something that's not intoxicating. Because we had a young man saying, but you know, aren't there 3 days we're allowed to eat and drink? I said, no, your whole year you're allowed to eat and drink, but it's supposed to be that which Allah has permitted. Don't come with loopholes and make things excuses for yourself. And then we make dua to Allah to help us. To help us. Listen very carefully because it's for me and for you. We make dua to Allah to help us eradicate our bad habits and anything displeasing to Allah. Why? To sacrifice an animal. What is the importance of it? Go back to the history. Ismail alayhi salam. Allah tells Ibrahim alayhi salam, sacrifice your son. He sacrificed the son. Allah replaced it with a ram from Jannah, right? We know the story. The verses are well known. We've heard it year in, year out. What is the idea? The son was still alive. Nothing happened to the son. And subhanallah, it was a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The idea is to slice off anything that is coming between you and Allah. That is it. I cut off. What do I cut off? I'm going to cut off my bad habits. Any bad habits. Whatever it might be. Don't justify a bad habit. To feel that a bad habit is a bad habit is the first step towards improving yourself. The minute you excuse, it's only makruh. Makruh. That's what they say regarding cigarettes, for example. May Allah strengthen all the guys. I know a lot of people who are really good. And they have an addiction, for example, to tobacco or cigarettes. Admit it's a bad habit. It's a bad habit. The minute you admit it, and this is the lighter of the rulings. According to me, it's not even allowed. It's prohibited. Not just according to me, according to the text. Anything that is harmful for you and your body, not allowed. Give it up for the sake of Allah. Are you prepared to put a knife today upon your cigarettes? If you are, wallahi, you get a better reward and a greater reward than those who are going to put a knife upon that animal. لَن يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِن يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah says, the blood is not going to get to us. The meat is not going to get to us. But the taqwa, the fear of Allah, the consciousness of Allah developed on such an occasion is what reaches us. Allahu Akbar. What is that consciousness? You have an addiction to something. It could be pornography. So many people today with technology are hooked onto it. But at the same time, we need to realize if you're prepared to put a knife and to stop yourself and abstain for the sake of Allah, you are the winner today. It is called Yawm al-Nahr because Allah wants us to slice out anything that is coming in the way of His obedience. So inshallah, we promise Allah that we will do that. And at the same time, I pray to Allah to help us to understand the term haram and how it is connected to this day because of that sermon and what is haram exactly between us. And at the same time, may Allah accept from us all the sacrifices we have made, we are making, and we will make for His sake and His sake alone. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.